Broadcast Network, AfterBuzz TV, over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries, and your number one source for after-show entertainment. Johnson. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hello, AfterBuzzers, and welcome to another episode of The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Please rate and subscribe to us on YouTube and iTunes. Give us 5 stars. And please don't forget to comment, and we know you will. Leave many comments. Let's get into it. I'm your host, Grant Rutter, and with me tonight, co-hosting alongside me.
Hi, everybody. It's Megan Stecker. And if you guys want to tweet us during the show, I'm at Megan Stecker.
Hey, everybody. My name is Christy Olson. And don't forget to use hashtag ABTVRHBH. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah. Perfect.
And I am Fern Roney, and you can tweet me at Fern Roney.
Yeah.
We are here ready to take your tweets, and we are going to get into all of our different opinions on this action-packed episode.
Craziness.
It seemed to be kind of compacted towards the end, started off slow, but they definitely delivered in this one. Let's start at the beginning, though, with the LVP herself having this time with her son, who I feel like we don't see too much on the show. I know you see him on Vanderpump Rules. Do we see him a lot on that show? I know I asked this in the
very
past.
Very little.
Not okay. That much, yeah.
Right. So basically, he's looking into where he came from, and did you find a little off-putting? I found like that he had to like look away from the computer when she was typing in his last name. Weird.
He's 22. How does he not know his real name? It never came up before.
Well, he didn't seem that curious about it. He didn't care. He just wants to know his heritage, from what I understand.
Right.
Well, but that the last name would certainly maybe be an indication of that, right?
Well, I have to say, as someone, my sister has 2 adopted children. So I feel like, I loved seeing a genuine moment from Lisa. And the fact that she was in tears, like, I have not seen a genuine moment from this girl in 2014 or 2015. Like, I do Vanderpump Rules. I'm a huge, huge fan of that show. Like, I've been watching Beverly Hills since the beginning. I have not seen a genuine moment from this woman in years.
She's and just so poised.
To see tears, I was like, oh, yes, finally. Like, this is every. This
she
is her real life.
She cried after Puerto Rico last season, but that was over, like, stupid girl. Yeah. Like, this was real emotion.
That was a drama cry.
This is
a
love cry. This is her real life. Exactly. This isn't, like, filming the show. This is her real life. And to know that it's it touches her, or that she's sad for her child in any way, that he's wondering and wanting and questioning. I just really loved it. And I get it that it hasn't come up, because he's lived such a cushy life that maybe he didn't want to look before, or he was too embarrassed to ask, or too nervous to ask, or something in that situation where maybe they haven't talked about much where he came from, that he was in the foster system, and maybe he thought it's going to be too hard to find where to trace that. But with Lisa knowing his real last name, I guess a lot's possible these days, especially with the internet. So
I think more than anything, she was just overwhelmed. He's never asked before. She said she hasn't even uttered the name in 22 years. I think more than anything, it was just a flood of emotion of like, oh my gosh, this is really happening. He might take I want to know my heritage onto I want to get to know my birth mother and father.
Right.
And Lisa's met them, and she didn't say a lot about them, but you know, maybe she gets the indication that it wouldn't be healthy for him to know more about his birth parents. We don't know. I know I adopted my little chihuahua, and he came with, he had a horrible name back in the day, and we don't even speak that in our house, because I'm afraid that it'll trigger some kind of memory and it'll make him sad. You know, this is just such a, and not to relate my chihuahua to her 22-year-old son, but this is just such a touchy subject.
Actually touching. Right. Repeating the name reminds you guys of
Of his horrible past.
It was so sad when she said that Max would say on his birthday, is anyone sad about me today? That was so real.
As a
and
child,
touching,
but to be that in touch.
That he's that thoughtful.
Right, yeah. Yeah, this is the first we've seen of Lisa being
very real. Deep. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and that shows a little bit of hope, I think, on Max's part, that he wants, he's obviously very happy with his life and with his parents, but that he wants to know that someone is thinking about him and is caring about him. And maybe that's what all adopted children just want to know, that someone cared about them before.
Right. See, I'm too nosy. Okay. I would want to know the last name.
I would have been asking for years.
It doesn't make a huge difference if it's like, you know, it could be like anything. It doesn't mean you're going to know, like, oh, that those are the Smiths that live next door. Like, it just isn't, like, you can't connect the dots that easily. I mean, I don't like being kept in the dark on things. I would not be cool with that.
Me neither, not at all. But I was laughing, too, how she, to go back to the shallow, how she was like, let's hope they're Kennedys so they can take care of you're richer than the Kennedys. Let's be honest. Their money is spread out.
And it was probably in England when he was adopted, right? Isn't that where they lived for a long time back in the day?
Right.
So this is probably an English family. It's not like it's someone who does, like you say, live next door and is really a threat to his safety or to his life.
Right.
I think it seems like he's just become a man. Like, he's just past the age of where, he, you know, you're done college and you're supposed to be finding your way in the world. And he's probably searching so much. Like, God, I don't know what I want to do with my life. My parents have all this money. I've never really had to have that much responsibility. Now they want me to grow up. I'm a busser in their restaurants. I think I'm better than that. So I think it's a big questioning and finding himself time right now. Mm-hmm. So this is the, you know, the deepest, furthest thing he can search for. And it's important to him. I think even if he doesn't know, it's like he's trying to build a base to start his, you know, grown-up life off of. And this is probably where he needs to start for himself.
Well, let's transition from one family to another. This one a little bit more screwed up. It says two Richard sisters. But let's talk about Kim's return from the hospital. It was alleged that it was said that it was 7 to 8 days. And then later in the episode, we heard, you know, Lisa Rinna saying it was 5. So we all
either way,
that.
That's a long hospital stay. But that was a little contradictory.
I still believe in my mind that she went in to, like, sober up. That's how I look at it. That's just...
And it's sort of, this is an indication that it's kind of shrouded in mystery. How many days was it really? What was she really there for? Right. It all seems very unclear, and that would sort of lend to that they're trying to hide something.
Right.
The fact that she said she coughed and cracked a rib, it's like... Did you fall and crack a rib? Like, we don't really know what went on, but the fact that even at the end of the episode, she doesn't even know what day it is. Like, she's saying to Kyle, it was just this morning that we had that conversation. Yeah. And she's like, what are you talking? That was yesterday. She can't keep the days straight. Like, it's all shrouded in mystery, especially because even if something really was wrong physically, if they give her pain medication, that's kind of like feeding back into
I can't believe she took
her addiction
pill. Now it's clear she took Monty's pill. This was not a pill prescribed to her by her doctor who knows her history. So she should not be doing that. She shouldn't be taking anybody's pills. Anything, if she has pain, she should call her doctor. It's a little irresponsible.
Maybe a little bonus info there. Brandy said on her blog that Monty disappeared for a few days before this all happened. He apparently comes and goes. We know he's very, very sick, but he disappeared without even a phone call to Kim and was gone for days. So maybe, and he returned just this night when it all went down at the poker night. So maybe it was just sort of like a, okay, ex-wife who I live with and has been very worried about me for the last few days, take this pill and get off my ailing back. You know what I mean?
But Kim should not have taken it. If she's so strong in her sobriety, and I know she, you know, God bless her.
She's shown that she is.
Right, really. She should know better, and it's wreaked havoc on her and her family. Yeah. Changed her behavior. She was very aggressive that night. There's no denying it.
See, she mentioned that she maybe wasn't. She shouldn't have went to the poker night, but she took the pill, and so she said Monty said go. And but I'm almost wondering if like she's like no, I feeling the pressure like she has to go to this because she's on this show. Mm-hmm. Where if she didn't have to, she wouldn't bother going to any poker night in Malibu. You know, I feel like it comes from the show.
There was always so much made out of where's Kim? Kim didn't show up. She was invited and she's not here. Is she somewhere doing drugs or drinking? I think she knows the repercussions of not showing up to anything where these ladies are going to be. She's going to have to deal with a lot more than if she just goes.
Yeah, I agree. That's what I mean.
Right. Agreed.
So they cut back and forth between Kyle and Kim and Brandy and Kim, and it was very kind of weirdly put together. But basically, I mean, let's just break it down. Brandy's still really much there for Kyle, and Kyle is just too much. She's just coming on way too strong and not really even letting Kim talk too much. Do you want to bring up anything specific?
Well, I'm thinking this whole thing with Brandy, it's sort of like we get on her a lot for being a hot mess. And I think this friendship with her and Kim, everyone keeps bringing up the slut pig comment and Brandy accusing Kim of doing meth in the bathroom and how did they get to this feeling friendship touches. Now? Yes, exactly. And I think Brandy sees someone who's even a hotter, messier mess than she is, and she can sort of be motherly to Kim and she can sort of feel like not the crazy drunken mess when she gets involved in Kim and Kyle's business. And she sort of likes that a little bit too much. I don't know.
I think Brandy does feed off of the fact that someone is messier than her at the moment, and it makes her feel somewhat superior in this group of women who all have it together except for these two.
Someone's got more family drama, too. And
it's sad because I think she does think she's being helpful and in this, like, motherly role of, like, oh, I can take care of Kim. And it's a change for her from being the messy one. Mm-hmm. But she gets right back into Brandy mode and has to fight with Kyle. Ugh. So ghetto. Like, let it go. Let it go.
The conversation with Kyle and Kim, it bothered me a little bit. It was still Kyle saying, you're not acting the right way, Kim. You're offending me by telling me that I'm not being a great sister. It was sort of like, listen to what she's saying. She's telling you that Brandy was making a good point and that she, as your sister, who Brandy was commenting about, agrees with Brandy. And maybe you should take a step back and listen to your own sister. Right. I think maybe, and to give Kyle a little bit of credit, which I'll only do right now and then probably not for the rest of the show, she has dealt with a lot from Kim, and I think she's in that mode of like, whatever, Kim, like, you don't know what's going on. You haven't seen it. You don't remember. So she's just sort of in that mode of like telling Kim how it's going to be. And the Kim's over that. She's done with it.
Kyle just went into that conversation with way too many emotions, way too caught up. And Kim was like, look, you're my sister. Brandy's my friend. Very simple, but with Kyle being so caught up in this and being so overdramatic, and I know certain people aren't going to agree. They're going to say, you know, think she's being appropriate, she's acting appropriate, but I think Kyle's just she's causing her own problems by being so over the top. I think that she needs to kind of like reel it in a little bit, and we'll get into that later where she was just a bigger mess than Kim.
When they were going back and forth between the conversations between Brandy and Kyle, I'm like, I mean, I'm sure they cut it out, but when is someone going to say, are you okay, Kim? Is Kim okay? Like, it was really like, I'm the better friend. I'm the better sister. You're not a good sister. You're not a good friend. Like, how's Kim doing? She was the one at the center of it all.
Kim, she acts like she could care less about being in the middle. She's just kind of letting it all go around her like this.
She can be charged.
She got upset.
She ended up speaking up for herself, surprisingly so.
She was in her leopard pajamas. What were those?
We were like, she was so cute. Oh my gosh. She looked fantastic for someone who had just gotten out of the hospital. I don't know what glam squad she had on retainer or what, but she looked fantastic. She definitely didn't look like she was ailing.
Well, that was day of the party, right? Because the day before, Kyle had come to see her. So I think that was day of when Brandy came over and they taped that conversation. So I think she was probably in party glam on the face. Still in pajamas because they weren't ready to go to the party yet.
I thought it was the day before the party.
But it was when Kyle was over, and then Brandy was over day of the party.
See, no, I a little was credit to you, Kim. We can't keep it straight either.
I thought it was the same day. I thought it was that morning. I thought I said earlier that day when Kyle and Kim talked, because it was a flashback.
And then they had the party, and when she said to Kyle, we spoke this morning. Kyle said, no, we spoke yesterday.
Yeah. So both Brandy and Kyle spoke with Kim on the same day.
Oh, did they?
Brandy came in the afternoon. Kyle came in the morning. That's why they had those gray flashbacks, which was, it was messy. Awkward. It was. I wonder if it was cut that way. So then when Kim was like, I don't know what day of the week it is, that it just kind of like played into that. We were all confused. We were all team Kim at that point.
What day is it?
I think they sat down and looked at all the footage they had from that party and at Nick's and said, oh my gosh, we need to show, there needs to be 58 minutes of this. I know a whole episode isn't really 60 minutes, but like there needs to be so much of this that how do we cram together the Brandy Kyle conversations and just get that out of the way in the first couple minutes and lay the groundwork for this crazy rest of the episode.
Right. Well, before we get into all the crazy, let's do some cheers and jeers of this show. Little things we noticed. two of the things we liked. So let's give, I'm going to give some cheers real quick. We'll start over here with Faye Resnick making an appearance. Yeah! I love her, and I love seeing the outfits that she puts on. She's completely unnecessary, but she's always there for her girl, Kyle. So, good to have you back. I hope we see more of you. And then my cheers go to Kim for not knowing what day of the week it is. I mean, come on, like, figure it out. That looks so bad on your part when you're trying to be sober. Mm. All right, though, that's it. What do you have for us?
I have two cheers. First cheers is to all of our commenters from last week. Thank you, everyone, for being so vocal. It was quite the response last week. I think whenever we have an episode that it's kind of like one lady pitted against another, we see everyone's teams come out. Mm-hmm. So it was a lot of comments going on last week. So thank you all for being so involved. We love it. and my cheers for the ladies this week goes to Kyle's hemline being too short.
Oh, really?
Oh,
yeah.
And my jeers of the week goes to Brandy's wine glass.
Wine glass?
Wine glass? Why?
Because Brandy's always drinking too much wine.
Yeah, she should watch out.
Oh, boy. Well, my cheers has to go to Lisa Vanderpump and her A-plus parenting, even though she's a rich girl and she has raised these kids in the absolute lap of luxury, Max is still trying to work his way from a busser to a runner. And she said, my kids don't get anything at the restaurant just because they are my kids. And I give her major props for that. We see all kinds of spoiled bratty kids running around Beverly Hills. Pandora and Max are not two of them.
Good point.
So there's my cheers.
Good point.
Mm-hmm. And a jeers. Boo. Can I just say again, Kyle with the I, me. I would love to challenge Kyle to just not say I for an entire day. I'm
good
sick
luck.
Of hearing about it. I know, right? So,
my cheers would be, I love the two soap opera actress sorority sisters in the corner observing the scene wondering what they should do. Should we hose them down?
Yay! Yep.
They didn't, that was cute.
They didn't know
what
to do with themselves. And my jeers go to Brandy's version of an invite. We should have a party. You invited me.
She is the one who said a mixer. Yeah. So I mean, this was sort of her idea.
They kind of came up with it together to completely uninvite someone.
But I thought there was no confirmation of an invite later.
I think there's a physical invite that went out, and I'm sure she didn't get one. So,
But she still sees it that way. Good for her, not good for her.
Well, let's talk about this mixer. First of all, I think it plays up every stereotype that there is, especially coming out of West Hollywood, which has a variety of people that live there. But whatever. So we had to see all of these pocket gays come out to meet one another. And it was at Nick's. Now, you've said you've been there.
Oh, my gosh.
Talk
this
about
is
it.
Fabulous. And if you guys maybe remember from a couple seasons ago on Vanderpump Rules, this is where Sheena and Ariana went into the VOD box, which is this fabulous, like, 30 degree below zero place where they keep all this high-end vodka chilled, and you taste vodka. You put on these fabulous faux fur coats, and you get in the VOD box. And so last year, Sheena and Ariana were screaming about Kristen, and no one could hear them. That's how you may remember Nick's, but it's a fantastic martini lounge in Beverly Hills. It's one of those special occasion places to go, and it's definitely some place where when you go, you're going to drink.
Okay.
Drink at this place. This is the martini bar.
Kim,
okay?
why are you there?
That was deliberate in this episode. It was like, let's take the gays to the martini bar and get crazy.
Right.
And they got crazy.
So it started off easy with this game that they were playing. We kind of had mixed reactions to that. I don't know if it's
nice
worth
try.
Discussing, but yeah, I guess that was to get these guys to meet each other. But the rest of it was like, it didn't matter who was in the room, if it was lesbians or whatever. It made no difference. And it basically just came down to this uninvited guest, which I admit last week I loved. Now, what were your reactions when you saw her rolling down the freeway with Kim?
I'm thinking, Kim, you better text Kyle. But of course,
couldn't believe that she didn't.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, how could you think this is a good idea?
Like, I was nervous before Brandy got there, let alone
At least she wasn't chugging wine in the car this time.
I gotta agree. I think she was sober this whole time. The whole, I never saw her raise a glass. I know I give jeers to her wine glass because she's always drunk, but I think I never even saw her with a glass in her hand this whole episode, whether or not she had a drink or not. Yeah. But
I think that was that was a deliberate thing. Yeah,
absolutely.
Kyle seems like the one who's been drinking a lot lately, and no one's saying that. I think at the poker party as well, and tonight, she maybe can handle herself a little better. She doesn't get slurry crazy, but she wouldn't act out like this and say these things and yell if she hadn't had a few drinks. She's usually pretty poised.
Yeah, well, basically, Kyle to me was like a 15, 16 year old girl at like her sweet 16 where someone came to the party that she didn't want to see.
Who invited her? She's like, well, then I invited her.
This is really awkward. It's really awkward and it's really weird and I don't know what to do. And all these guys, the gays are around her like, it's okay. Like, it's just, you know, she shouldn't be here, like, supporting her. It was just like, she had her weight on one foot and was just like so upset. And I was team Brandy with this whole event.
I was too, actually, because then she had to rehash everything Brandy's ever said to her from seasons past.
Oh, God.
Right, yeah. And I thought they had moved forward. They went on a hike earlier this season when they called Lisa. They were moving
forward. Yeah, what happened to that, Kyle?
Yeah. So then she just rehashed everything Brandy'd ever done to her, and she was ready to fight.
She wanted to make this so dramatic. And to me, it's like, it's only dramatic if you make it dramatic. If you're like, she's here, whatever, there's 50 other people here, we're just gonna go through the night. But if you're gonna stop the party and have to talk to everybody and make a big deal about it, then you're gonna ruin your night. I mean, we've all been in that situation where we've run into someone we don't want to see, and it's how dramatic do you really want to be at this point?
But right,
unfortunately, there's more drama there, you know, it's steeped in more than just petty gossip, but you know, what do you think?
She could have left it at the fake air kiss, and there could have not been all the drama. They could have talked at a later date when Kyle wasn't so fired up. But she decided she was going to go over and attempt an apology, which wasn't a real apology. No. I had been on Kyle's side last week. As drunk and sloppy as it was, I felt like Kyle was the lesser wrong of everybody, that she really didn't do anything wrong. This week, it was kind of like she flew off the handle when her apology was backhanded. It wasn't a real apology. And Brandy saw right through that and got a little snotty with her. And it set her off. And it was just everything she didn't want to happen, but she played right into it. And it was her own fault. I was with Kyle last week, but not this week, unfortunately.
I'm with you.
Yeah, she didn't really have anything to lose, though, either. It wasn't like this was one of those fancy parties with a bunch of executives or like, oh, my husband's clients are here. You know, these are the girls and they're gays and they all know each other. They all know what's going on. Because, you know, you talk to your friends about what so-and-so did last week. Everybody's there ready to take sides. And Kyle was ready to throw down.
Yeah, Kyle was right in Brandy's face. Like, Brandy was towering over her. But she was like, you should know better. And it's like, come on, this is after you're apologizing to her and you're trying to like make things better. You never tell someone that, you never speak to someone like that if you really want to just like go through the evening peacefully.
But her point was good. I mean, I think her point was good that she said, you don't get between sisters. Like, I'm sorry I hurt you and scratched you with my bracelet, but you don't get between sisters. And at that point, maybe Brandy should have said, you know, you're right, and I'm sorry for whatever I did. But Brandy never apologized, so I think it just kept
egging.
Brandy tried to do her Brandy thing of acting like nothing
blood
had happened.
Kept boiling,
like she does a bunch of terrible things, and then she just wants to be like cool with everyone, like be like, "Hi, I'm coming to your party, and I'm just said hi, and can't we just be friends?"
Right.
Now, let me ask: did Brandy put herself in between these two sisters, or did Kim put Brandy in between her and Kyle?
Ooh.
A good question.
I think it's a little of both. I think it's a little of both. I think that Brandy loved getting in the middle, and Brandy started it by getting in the middle and being a drunken mess and being like, no, I'm in charge of Kim, stay away, Kyle. And it started that way, but now Kim not at all trying to keep the peace and just standing there saying nothing in between the two of them catfighting over her, it's now Kim's fault. Because Kim needs to be like, shut the F up, both of you. You stand over here and you stand over here. I can come to each of you when I need help. And the fact that you're fighting over me, like, no. Like, let's call it a day. Enough. I come to you when I need you. I come to you when I need you.
Well, well, last week, Kim didn't really stand up for either one of them. She kind of tried to keep the peace. This week, she said, she told Kyle, I need her about Brandy and that you hurt my feelings to Kyle. So she was kind of, she was standing up for herself and she was also standing up for Brandy, which I was surprised by. You know, she doesn't go up against Kyle. Kim doesn't go up against Kyle very often and she's clearly just had enough.
Well, Kim snapped on Kyle, which I had to go back and watch. And then Grant was like, what even happened? I don't get what happened.
Yeah, we had to read the subtitles.
I rewatched it twice. And it's apparently when Kyle turned to Brandy and was like, oh, she's reaching out to you in the middle of the night then? Well, what's she doing? What's going on then? And immediately, like, obviously something's really been going on with Kim because immediately she got so pissed and defensive and said, why would you ever say that about me? Screw you. And so Kim is now also pissed at Kyle. Mm-hmm. So it made everything worse. Mm-hmm. And Kyle ends up like on her knees begging Kim, like, side with me, side with me, is essentially what I felt like was going on.
Which is just another high school mean girl thing. Doesn't matter if they're sisters or not. Side with me.
Yeah.
See, I don't see Kyle as a mean girl, but she definitely had a bad night. And I know we were all saying last week, like, I would have punched Brandy. I would have done this. I would have done that. It's like she's had it with Brandy to the point where she was verbally aggressive, not physically aggressive. Which, I mean, Brandy deserved it. But.
We all agreed Brandy deserved to have her hair pulled and her heel stuck up her butt when she said the comment about the husband.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. If she ever deserved, no one should ever deserve to be hit. Right. Except Brandy in that one moment.
But, you know, Kyle was willing to forgive all that. She didn't. Kyle didn't even bring that up again in last season how Brandy brought up the tabloids. Kyle was, like you said, on a hike with Brandy, and she was not bringing any of that up until now, until she wants to use it.
Yeah.
You know, and then she can be like, oh, yeah, that's right, huh?
But when Brandy said your husband doesn't want you, oh my God, that was nasty. Kyle should have been like, and neither does your ex-husband.
Mm-hmm. That's why you're... but that's been used a million times.
I mean, really. But then, yeah, Kyle didn't do anything, and she just kept trying to talk to her sister. So I don't... Mm-hmm.
And that is the place where Brandy always goes, isn't it? Yeah, we know that's where all her typical hurt stems from, so that's where she goes. Hey, your husband's doing the same thing to you as my ex-husband
that's
was.
That's a great point.
Yeah. Well, I actually was surprised with Brandy's behavior overall. She could have really gotten more nasty and below the belt, but I think it has to deal with her being sober this time around.
Right.
But I think that, in my opinion, Kyle was just acting like a mean girl. And I know you don't agree with me.
I don't,
but I think that she was just being ridiculous from the minute that girl walked in to the minute she left. I don't agree with her how she handled the situation at all. Especially if she's saying this girl's coming in to this place, she's uninvited. Then this is something you need to deal with outside of your party if it's affecting it. Why is this all going down here? Then again, I can see she's fired up, she's passionate, she's upset, her sister just got out of the hospital. But I mean, you know, to an apology like that is just not real. So to me, no. Mm-hmm. Sorry, sorry.
I think that Kyle definitely sees herself as a protector over Kim, and that there are times when she knows she needs to back away a little bit and give Kim a little time to sort herself out. Like, they just have their own rhythm and relationship. Kyle's been going through this with Kim for many a year.
Long before Brandy came along.
Yeah, so Brandy coming in trying to mix things up, like from Kyle's blog last week in relation to the whole fight at poker night, she said things like, I want to say that while the physical part of this evening was upsetting, it paled in comparison to my concern for my sister. And other than Brandy telling me about this one call, I've never gotten any late night calls or any signs of my sister not being okay or in danger in any way.
Maybe you should pay more attention, girl.
Well, she said there are years,
get off your yacht.
Years of history that Brandy is not privy to, and I will never share, no matter how many hurtful lies she hurls my way. When I watch Brandy with Kim, I see someone who's taking advantage of my sister at her most vulnerable. It's frustrating, worrisome, and hurtful that my sister cannot see this. Why does Brandy want Kim to feel that she is the only one there for her? This is a great point. Mm. We come from a big family that my sister has had plenty of support from, people who genuinely love and care for her, not to mention Kim has four adult children that love and support their mom. So those are all great points. Mm-hmm. Like, I think Kyle, being her sister of how many 40-some years, you know, it's like she knows what she's talking about. Brandy, over the past few months, like, you're not an expert, so shut it up.
Yeah.
So I'm still team Kyle.
I just think even that protectiveness from Kyle comes from a place of, like, because I don't want people to know our family business, and I don't want it to reflect poorly on me, and I don't want to have to worry about you, and I don't want to have to deal with you. I just...
Well, she's the one who brought up the whole alcoholism in season one to begin with.
That's true.
But, yeah, she. I don't think Kyle's a mean girl, but I think she didn't act maturely at the party.
Right.
I'm still...
It was just a bad week for her, for sure.
See, I proclaimed a few weeks ago that I was done with Kyle entirely, and that remains true. I can't...
With me.
I can't with her anymore. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of the me, and the whining, and... It's just like, you need to deal with this stuff. Like, she's just doing it in the wrong way, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. But no, not that everybody else, a bunch of saints around her either, going up against Brandy is annoying. And, you know, just it'll all be hashed out in the reunion. I don't know. All right, let's move on to some news and gossip, since we've kind of been going that way.
TV news.
All right, what do you got for us? Any breaking news? Any big stories?
Well, hey, Leanne Rimes and Brandi Glanville are at it again, and it's not even Brandi's fault this time. Brandi tweeted or Instagrammed a photo that was kind of a throwback of herself cooking in the kitchen. And this was obviously a photo from when she was with Eddie and the boys, and it sort of said, you know, throwback, hashtag cooking for family. And she was just kind of clearly reminiscing that time. So Leanne Rimes sees this, because we know she's just sitting at home looking at Twitter, obsessing over Brandy. And she tweets her own photo of herself cooking for Brandy's boys with the same hashtag cooking for family in a picture. And just the news here is that these ladies are both so freaking desperate and so hungry for attention and don't have anything better to do that they're sitting around copying each other's hashtags and trying to still throw this stuff back in each other's face that is so many years ago, and they are still putting these boys in the middle.
Boom with that attitude.
And we talked about this a little bit in the Vanderpump Rules show, but Lisa Vanderpump is releasing her own line of jewelry, everybody. We are all going to be able to accessorize like LVP. It's called Vanderpump Estate Jewelry Collection.
Oh my God, you're not serious.
Oh, I'm so serious.
Oh Lord.
The collection.
Do we have any
And it's
price
going
points?
To be fabulous. We don't have price points yet, but it's going to come out in the next couple weeks, and we'll see then if we can afford this stuff or not.
Is it available like her website or via like QVC or
something? It's through another jewelry line that's already established.
Okay.
And Lisa did do, however, the designing though, so they are her designs, and we'll know all that very soon.
Well, speaking of LVP, she's looking to expand her real estate in West Hollywood.
Ooh.
And I heard over the weekend that she is looking to sell Villa Blanca in Beverly Hills, and she wants to open new places in the same strip where Sir and now Pump are in West Hollywood. And her goal is to basically have a strip of straight restaurants in the middle of, you know, the middle of West Hollywood.
Straight restaurants.
Idea. Well, there were, I know back in Philadelphia, there was a chef and her partner. They owned like an entire block. So two of those were restaurants that were very different from each other. There was a cute little shop full of like Philly, great nostalgia. If you were visiting Philly or if you, you know, were a longtime resident, there were, you know, things that you could for both types of customers. There were things there and a chocolate shop, and like it's just a great diverse business plan when you own a whole block and people are just going door to door when maybe they're not that familiar with the area.
Just shows how much influence she has in this area and how much respect she has with the residents of West Hollywood, that she knows, hey, I can own the whole block and they're gonna come.
That's smart, because it's going to be just on, one end and Pump's on the other, right? So it'll be everything in between she wants to snatch up?
Well, yeah, I mean, they won't, she'll never be able to touch the Abbey. But, I mean, there are other places. Like, there's a place called Motherlode, which is next to Pump, and she supposedly already has the lease.
Yes, Motherlode, people.
She supposedly already has the lease on that
Lisa
place.
Lisa bought the Motherlode!
So she's looking to expand it. I don't know. It's just kind of, I'm not too, like, into it. I don't know. I don't like to see anyone come in and take over, but whatever works for her. I mean, it's all a done deal, I guess. So we shall see.
Yeah, and it's been said that she's been trying to get rid of Villa Blanca, and we still don't quite know why. you know, it's by all accounts is still doing very well. So maybe it is just because she wants to focus on this specific area. And we've seen her on the show, like, hoof it out of Sir and just walk right over to Pump. I think she just wants to be in that general area. She's so busy and she just wants to be able to go to where her restaurants are.
Exactly.
Not have to Uber it.
That's what the source told me. They were like, she just wants to have convenience and everything in one spot. So, yeah.
But when I think about how far Villa Blanca and Pump are from each other, it's like super close.
And I don't think she's Ubering it. I'm sure she has a driver.
Yeah, no, it's really not that far at all. It's really not that far, though.
Straight down Santa Monica right there. It's like, hot second.
Yeah, so she wants to just do more in that area.
Well, she can open up all the restaurants and bars she would like, as far as I'm concerned. Those places are all fabulous,
she's
and they're all
it.
Unique. Mm-hmm. You know, she's not doing the same thing over and over again. So I would love to see what she's going to do with the mother load.
All right. And now let's talk about some quick news and gossip from social media. Anything pop out to you on the Twitter sphere or anything?
This isn't actually from social media. This is just regular news and gossip. But the other Lisa Rinna, who didn't see too much of on this episode, but she is preparing for a role that hasn't been disclosed, but it's believed to be for CSI, where she has to channel a trashy mom, and she has to play a trashy mom, and she channeled Brandy. Lots of makeup. She said she channeled Brandy.
Oh, come on.
That's such an insult. Like, she gave an interview and said
right? In the Inquisitor.
Brandy must be seething.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Their reunion is going to be awesome.
I know. I mean, the entire cast hates her. And when she gets backed into a corner, she sometimes reverts into, like, little girl, what did I do mode.
Victim.
This should be interesting.
Well, there was a little bit of business on social media. Yeah. Brandy Glanville has been going back and forth with Andy Cohen, who, let's remind you, is her boss.
Girl.
She accused him of bullying her. He said, you know, bullying is a strong word, and that is when people gang up on someone who's weak. And Brandy Glanville is not weak. And then she went after his appearance on Top Chef. She's just really taking that, you don't bite the hand that feeds you.
Yeah.
She's taking that hand and just schmunching away at it. And I don't think it's a good idea. I don't think that her spot is set on this show for next season. Apparently the Bravo execs are sort of questioning if she's just too much. She makes it hard for other wives to sign on. And I think she should just stop looking that gift horse in the mouth, biting the hand that feeds her, all those cheesy things.
The last
Andy Cohen.
The last tweet she sent to him, she said, I think we should do Top Chef Housewives with all the cookbooks. Let's see who can actually burn Andy. I'm so in.
What is wrong with
her? She needs to be reminded that she has no other source of income.
Right?
Yeah. She barely gets child support. Her books, I guess they do all right, but...
She made a surprisingly great showing on Celebrity Apprentice, but maybe that's a little bit of news for you, too. She got her butt fired this week, along with two other people, and we know she made some money off of that, but a lot of that is for charity. Right. So
something's wrong with you.
Yeah, Brandy.
Remember what makes her relevant.
Right.
Well, switching to something more real and serious. Yolanda, again, your health is the topic of everything out there right now, and we just want to wish you getting well soon. She definitely has been tweeting up a storm and Instagramming her heart out, and seems like she's still not doing very well and getting a lot of treatments. So, and we saw that Kris Kardashian sent her some beautiful flowers recently. So,
Kris Jenner, right?
Yeah. What did I say? Kardashian? She may want to revert back to that, considering Bruce Jenner's possible transformation. Anywho, getting back to this show, Yolanda, we all wish you well.
Right. We do. All right, let's move to predictions real quick, ladies. What's coming up?
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
It looks to me like Brandy is going to end her relationship coming up with Yolanda. It's going to start that whole unraveling process when she basically calls her daughter an alcoholic.
Yeah. That's horrible.
Not good.
Mm-hmm. No. I agree. I think everything's just going to get worse and worse and worse for Brandy. I guess this whole season's kind of just spiraling. Brandy's swirling the drain here. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, she's breaking off every possible positive tie that she has, and nobody likes her, and it's literally the fight of the week with her right now.
When you get to the point where you're insulting Yolanda, who is the most reasonable and non-judgmental and has really given Brandy the benefit of the doubt a lot, and when she has spoken out against Brandy, it's been clearly out of concern. You know, hey, maybe you shouldn't drink so much. You know, you're making a poor showing of yourself. If she's going to turn and turn her back on Yolanda, like you said, it's all going to go downhill from there.
Fern?
Predictions? I can't wait to see more of Lisa Vanderpump's story with her son. It might be
Oh, that's really sweet.
I'm interested in that. I want to know where he came from, how he was adopted, what the story is. Things
Brown People Edition.
Oh my God. Wait, what is that?
What was that?
Where did that come from?
Sorry.
That would be Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Yes. Well,
our engineer just
I said I was sorry.
I love it.
Shout out to the engineers in the studio, you guys. These are the ones who make it fun to listen.
They're keeping it fresh.
They're giving
for
you
us.
A little
sure you guys were awake.
Yeah, right?
You know, keeping you on your toes.
Right.
It's my job.
Shout out to Alexis.
Yes.
Thanks, girl. On that note,
we thank you for listening, and we want to basically tell you where you can find us online. So we'll start over here. Where can we find you?
You can find me at Fern Rone on Twitter and at Fern Rone on my Facebook fan page.
All right. I'm a fan. And I know I had a lot of disagreement last week. I'd love to hear your guys' opinion on this. Please tweet me at Christy Reports and tell me what you think.
And you guys can find me on Twitter and Instagram. Send me all your opinions. I love tweeting with you guys at Megan Stecker.
And you can find me on Twitter at Grants_Rants. That'll do it for us, After Buzzers.
See you next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.